All right, before you settle in and get too comfortable, let's stand for the scripture reading together, all right? It's that awkward time frame. You don't know, should I keep standing? Should I sit for a minute? Luke chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You guys may be seated. Well, we're continuing in our Abide series today. This kind of marks a bit of a shift, though, today. What we're going to do is, in a few weeks, we're going to come back to John chapter 15, and we're going to end there. But over the next few weeks, what we're going to do is more of a story-based abiding from the New Testament. So today, as you saw, we're in Luke chapter 19. I want to draw your attention to the very last line here in verse 10 as we get started. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Man, that has really stuck with me, especially the past couple weeks, that Jesus loves to track people down. In fact, if you go back four chapters, Jesus himself tells three parables about the shepherd going and seeking after the lost sheep, or the woman going and seeking after the lost coin, or the father going and seeking after the lost son. Time and time again, that's a theme through the Gospels, that he is seeking and he is saving. Now, what's so amazing to me is that once you've been found by Jesus, he wants you, like Matt said last week, to be a part of the rescue team. We get to go alongside of Jesus as he goes, and I like to say it like a manhunt. He likes to go on a manhunt or a woman hunt for souls. We, when we teach, when we lead, when we live in our home, when we are disciples of Jesus, whatever it is, we have the opportunity, like a dog going on a hunt, to seek after lost souls. That has kind of really changed as I've reflected on that one statement from Jesus over the past couple months. That has really changed how I view everything. See, we have the opportunity as men, as women, as kids, to go and seek after the hearts and the minds and the souls of other people, because Jesus delights and loves to save. Now, what's especially awesome about Jesus is he likes to go after those even who are very difficult to find. He likes to go into the pit. He likes to go after the demon-possessed, or the really bad character type people, or the Alabama fans. He goes after all the worst of the worst. I had to move them down a couple notches because last night they had a big win, you know. But he goes after the worst of the worst. We see that in this story with Zacchaeus. I would contend that Zacchaeus might be the most corrupted person in all the New Testament. I mean, this guy is the chief of the tax collectors. He's the commissioner of the tax collectors. Everybody's cheating, everybody's abuse, everybody's violence, everybody's domineering nature rises to the top of the pyramid to Zacchaeus. Now, don't be fooled by the detail that says he's short. He might be short in stature, but this is a very fierce man. For you football fans, think about somebody like Cam Scataboo, all right? He's short, but he is stocky. He is alpha-like. This is what we're talking about with Zacchaeus, because the Romans would not put somebody in there who was soft. This is a fierce, bad man. He's not only short in stature, he's short in righteousness, short in morality. He has not just, like, fallen into this. He is a bad, corrupted man. He is a slimy robber, a scum of society, they would view him as. That's why this story is so important. See, if Zacchaeus is not too lost for Jesus to seek after, you are not too lost for him to seek after either. I don't know where you've been or what you've done, but I would be willing to say that Zacchaeus' life is more corrupt than yours. And yet, you cannot out-sin God's grace. You cannot out-sin the cross. He is pursuing after your heart too. Let's read verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now let's stop here for just a moment. Two details I want to highlight. Chief, like we said before, this is an alpha. All right, Rome doesn't put you in charge to collect taxes unless you are someone who is brutal in nature and can dominate over people. All right, and then the other one is that he's wealthy. What Rome would do is they would have a certain threshold for tax collectors that they had to bring back, but then after that, tax collectors could collect what they wanted to. So Zacchaeus is going above and beyond what the Roman government is requiring, and they required a lot. Now put yourself in this time frame, all right? You don't have the middle class like you do today. What you have is a few people who are rich, and then you have everybody else just trying to make it by. They had all these Roman taxes. I mean, they taxed you on everything, and I mean everything. You had an income tax. You had an import tax. You had a cart tax. You even had a fish tax, and they would tax you based on each individual fish. You even, as a Jew, no joke, you're going to think this is made up. You even had, as a Jew, a tax on your breathing. If you breathed Roman air, you got taxed for it. If you were 14, the ages 14 to 65, as a male, you would be taxed for your breathing. Now, you turn 66, they say, you get bonus air. Congratulations on that. What a grace from them, right? You got taxed on everything already. And so what Zacchaeus is doing, it's almost like if Rome has the Jewish people and they're just like beating them down on the ground. And then they walk away. And then the Jewish people start to get up. And then here comes Zacchaeus and just drop kicks them right back down. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a brutal, brutal nature. This is a bad man, a disgusting individual. Let's keep reading. He, talking about Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Now, this is confusing. What? I mean, this guy, commissioner of the tax collectors, is now humbling himself enough to run, first of all, and then to climb up a tree to get a glimpse of another guy. Now look, maybe it's just my own pride, but I don't see me ever climbing up a tree just to get a glimpse of another dude. And I don't think Zacchaeus would either. Why does he do this? There's something in him that says, this guy, he might be the one. I mean, just a chapter earlier, there's this story where Jesus says this tax collector goes up to pray, and he can't even look to heaven. He just beats his chest, and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says he leaves justified before God. I mean, this is incredible. He is preaching. Jesus is preaching the forgiveness of sins. And you got to think that these tax collectors have come to Zacchaeus and said, this forgiveness even applies to us. I mean, it's an incredible, incredible thing. So Zacchaeus is thinking, he's just hoping in his mind that when Jesus says it is finished, that there is forgiveness of sins, that maybe, just maybe, it actually even counts for him. And he goes, I got to just get a glimpse of this Jesus. Could it possibly be true? So he runs. He climbs up this tree to see him. Verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. A lot of versions say, I must abide at your house today. Now, I would have fallen out of the tree right now. I mean, what? Jesus, you said my name and you want to eat with me? Here's what we got to know. Jesus knows the name of the one he's seeking after. He knew you before you were even formed in your mama's belly. He fiercely loves you and always has. And what's crazy about this story is that he is not ashamed to be seen with you. He is not embarrassed by your presence, because here's the thing, for him to go and eat at Zacchaeus' house, this is a sign of deep association to this man. And not only was it deep association to this man, but now the religious people are going to put Jesus in the same category as they put the tax collectors and sinners. I mean, think about that for a second. Jesus ain't getting invited to these upscale religious parties anymore. I mean, ain't no party like a Pharisee party, right? He ain't getting an invite anymore at this point. He is associated to them. It is guilt by association in their mind. This is an outstanding moment. He's flipping the script totally. And to many of the religious leaders, it was downright scandalous. Verse 6. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and said, "Yay, Zach, we're so happy for you. Welcome to the club." No. They began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." And that's right. Jesus abides with sinners because that's the only type of person for him to abide with. See, what the religious people didn't understand is that verse 6 is crucial for everyone's salvation. It's Jesus abides with us, and then we welcome him gladly. See, before this, what they were thinking is the Pharisees thought if their behavior was just good enough, they would bring about the Messiah. They missed it. It is abiding with Jesus that produces change. It's not we change and then we produce him coming. It's he comes and then we change. Crucial for us to understand that. And because they didn't understand that, they became crusty religious people. We don't want to be these kind of crusty Christians who mutter and grumble. We want to join the party and we want to rejoice when he saves. We want to join the rescue team and get in on it. Man, by my interaction with other people, I want people to know that Jesus sees them. I mean, in this story, Zacchaeus notices that Jesus looks up and sees him. And there are really a couple options for us as Christians by our engagement with the lost. Number one, they can know that Jesus sees them. Or number two, by our muttering and our grumbling, what they're going to do is they're going to actually associate that to who the character of God is. And they're not going to want anything to do with him. Do people know that Jesus sees them? When I grew up, I played baseball, which didn't exactly put me in lockstep with a lot of Christian communities. I remember I was a freshman in high school, and I was talking with this girl. You remember talking? It's like, are you dating? No, we're just talking. I don't even know what that is, really. It's like negotiations on taking it to the next step. But she had these FCA friends, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, who were leaders at the high school. And she said, "My friends don't want me to date you." So I said, let me just talk to them, you know? So I go and I talk to one of the guys who was, I think, the leader at FCA at the time. And I said, "Hey, it's so nice to meet you. She talks about you all the time." And he looked at me and he goes, "Well, she never mentions you." And then turns and walks away. Oh, you know what? Now that I think about it, I would like to be a Christian. Thank you. You know, what do we expect? I mean, wouldn't we rather, instead of muttering and grumbling, wouldn't we rather join the rescue team and just be excited to see people come to know Jesus? Wouldn't we want to go on that manhunt, like a dog on a hunt to go with Jesus? See, in Luke chapter 19, that's really the tension. It's a tension for us here in the church. Verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." See, here's what we got to take away. The religious people think that Zacchaeus is unworthy. And that's true. But what they miss is that we are all unworthy. That's why it's abide. That's why it's abide. It's he comes to abide with us. We turn towards him, and that's how change is produced in our lives. And by the way, there was a deep change that happened in Zacchaeus' life after encountering Jesus. And how do we know this? He says he will pay back four times the amount, and that is no small detail here, all right? Four times the amount is the Old Testament precedent when your crime was very violent in nature. So if you brutally killed somebody's sheep, you owe them four sheep. And what Zacchaeus is saying here is he's saying, I know that my offenses have been to the highest degree. I mean, I recognize that I have just messed it up. I didn't stumble into this. I'm not blaming my parents. I'm not saying if this person had done this, I wouldn't have done that. He goes, no. I'm not making excuses. I know that I have really messed it up. That's the kind of humility where Jesus enters into that space. And Jesus says, this man too is now a son of Abraham. Because why? It's not a bloodline anymore. It is about by faith. Colossians tells us, by faith we are sons of Abraham. Zacchaeus, the scum of the scum, is now a son of Abraham. Verse 10, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Listen, after the horror of what happened to Charlie Kirk, there is a temptation to go one of two directions. Number one, hate, rage, frustration, disqualifying people, casting them off. And we've seen this tension in podcasts, in the news. Frankly, even in our administration, we've seen this tension happen. Or we can take the approach of an Erica Kirk who just says, I'm not going to live like this. I'm not going to have this attitude. I'm not going to hold on to this. I mean, this guy had already taken the life of her husband. Should she allow this guy to control her heart for the rest of her life too? To hold on to bitterness and frustration and all these things? She says, no, I forgive. That's the way of Jesus, and that's the way for us. The most despicable people that we can think of, man, we want to not only forgive and release them of the debt, but we also want to go and seek and save with Jesus. We got to go after the hearts of the lost. We got to think about, we truly are, as Christians, going on a manhunt. We are going on a hunt with Jesus for the hearts and the souls of the people in our community and in the world. And by the way, that's what Charlie Kirk was trying to do anyway. Seek after the hearts of those who are lost. Worship team, you guys can come forward. I wanted to end by telling you another story that happened just a few years ago. In Australia, there are two men, Danny Abdallah and Samuel Davidson. Danny's a married man, had seven kids, lived a fairly normal Christian life. Samuel is a single man who had a pretty promising future. One night, Samuel had a chronic issue with alcohol, and he'd get behind the wheel, lose control, tragically run over and kill four kids on the sidewalk, three of whom belonged to Danny. Samuel justifiably received 20 years in prison for the horrific thing he had done. But what happened next was pretty shocking. 3 days later, the news media was set off in a frenzy when Danny's wife, Layla, would wear a Team Jesus shirt and publicly forgive Samuel for the tragedy. Danny, when interviewed, said that holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness is like already being in a pit and shoveling the hole deeper and deeper. Forgiveness really is the only option. He said, I can't live on replaying this over and over again. I need to forgive. But he didn't stop there. He'd speak with Samuel, the guy who killed his three kids, weekly over the phone before finally visiting him in prison. Samuel would report that Danny and Layla's forgiveness brought him incredible hope. This interview would end with Danny and Samuel taking communion together, and the interviewer would go on to eventually say, Danny and Samuel's story may not only inspire others, but help to save lives. Danny may have saved Samuel's life too. There's a more pure form of the gospel in modern day than two parents pursuing the heart of their children's killer? I don't know it. Here's the point. We don't get to decide what all happens in our lives and everything around us. Perhaps there will always be a Zacchaeus, a Samuel, a Tyler Robinson around us. But we can decide how we respond to them. With hate, with violence, with anger, with disgust, with bitterness, or we can go with Jesus on a manhunt to seek after the hearts of the lost. It doesn't mean that we enter into unsafe situations or put ourselves in harm's way, but it does mean we have hearts that want to seek after the lost. And yes, justice, but also immense grace and mercy. After all, that's just what Jesus did for us when we were lost. As we close, if it's helpful to close your eyes, I want you to think about that individual, that group. Maybe it's somebody personally in your life, or maybe it's somebody you've seen on local news or national news or whatever, that, man, every time you hear about that individual, it makes your blood pressure boil. Grinds your gears, man. You're disgusted by them. Father, in this moment, would you begin to change our hearts towards that individual or group? Would you begin to give us the heart of Jesus that wants to seek and to save the lost? Would you help us to be a people who really do pray for that? Like, our hearts want blessing over those enemies. It wants to see transformation happen. It wants to see the Zacchaeuses come to be a son of Abraham too. So, Father, there are many in this room who have been even personally hurt. And I pray, would you guide them in forgiveness, guide them in strength, and guide them in wanting you to seek after the hearts of those who are lost. Father, would you work in our hearts and stir in this place and stir in our community as well. Oh, we love you very, very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you guys